We're happy to present this new podcast series, Remembering Srila Gurudev. We're going to start off with an interview with Brajamohini Devadasi, which took place on the 6th of April, 2015, at our office in Navadvip, Sri Jijina Saraswat Math. For those of you who know Brajamohini Didi, she's a very dedicated and passionate servitor of our Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Sundar, Govindadev Goswami Maharaj. She's been serving in this mission close to 30 years now. She spent many years as a Brahmacharini at our San Jose Ladies Ashram in USA. And she's always been an all-rounder, as our Gurudev liked to say, ready to assist in any service field. But she has particular attraction and expertise in the area of preaching, and today she continues wholeheartedly with organizing preaching events for the preacher section in our mission. And she's a great inspiration for all who have the fortune to know her.
At that time when we came, he was just giving all the time. We would go and sit with him when we came here to Navadvip, you know, from the very early morning. Before he even would come out to his veranda, we would sometimes go into his room and sit, you know, maybe 3:30 or 4 a.m. And then sit for some time, and then he would come onto the veranda and we would sit some more and not even go to the morning artik and just sit with Gurudev for hours and hours. Later, we would go again in the afternoon, maybe 3:30 or 4, and then again stay till like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock and just sit with him, and he would just be with us and be talking for a lot of that time, for hours and hours. Most of the time, I couldn't ask anything, because I either, when you're sitting with Gurudev, any questions you had before automatically couldn't remember those questions anymore, because just with sitting with him, all questions just evaporated. But even if I did have some kind of question, I was too shy or jammed up to ask it, but he would still answer so many times, even questions that you couldn't really articulate or that your heart was feeling, he would answer them just in speaking or talking to another devotee or just in coming out, he would speak, and you felt, wow, that's my answer to my question, or giving some light on something that you felt.
Do you recall any particular instruction he gave you? Or maybe you can say what you feel he was, you know, very much trying to teach the devotees in the way he was generally giving instruction. I don't just mean in his giving formal lectures, but in like his day-to-day dealings and what he wanted to teach the devotees. You
know. He was always glorifying the devotees and means the great acharyas and great devotees in our line, but also just the devotees in our mission. He wanted us to care for each other, and many times, you know, I felt like he wants us to serve together. He wanted me to care for the devotees and to care for the mission, for his Guru Maharaj's mission. He had that love for his Guru Maharaj and his service and his responsibility for caring for the mission and the devotees, and always that instruction that everybody knows that he's always giving is humility and tolerance and giving honor to others. So that acceptance of each other and service. He always wanted us to give service. Many times he was talking about overlooking the faults of others, you know, and how he's explaining that verse that Krishna's devotee is never vanquished, you know, and even with apparently there are so many faults, but we have to overlook those, because if someone has surrendered themselves to Gurudev and Krishna, then those faults may still be there, but we can't absorb ourselves in them. I think that was a big lesson also, that because he talked about that a lot. That's a big part of being able to remain in the mission, I think, because we get absorbed in other people's faults, then we're going to automatically go down. So many of our difficulties that we have are because of that tendency, which is kind of normal, seems like, for a lot of us anyway. to have. So trying to appreciate, I think a lot of times it helped me when there was difficulties and maybe there was some disturbance in one way or the other, or devotees not getting along, you know, but like trying to, or maybe we're seeing one devotee that we doing one thing or another, but if we're seeing how much affection that devotee is getting from Gurudev, it's like, well, Gurudev is giving that person some position, or Gurudev mm-hmm. is giving that person so much affection, then I also, maybe, you know, maybe that person to me is really annoying, or maybe that person did something that I think was stupid, but because Gurudev can overlook those things, and Gurudev is giving so much affection, then I also have to try to do that in some way. Or at least to give that respect, you know, like that's everything. What Gurudev saw is everything, not my own conception of whether that person is doing right or wrong, or should have said something, or shouldn't have said something, or should have treated somebody else in a different way. Like, there was a lot of times when we really, when I felt personally that I had to try in some way to practice that, just trying to trusting Gurudev's vision rather than my own, you know, and trying to appreciate that point of seeing that these faults that, you know, I have so many, everybody has something that we're considering faults, but they're not what's important, you know, that's the external, that's just the external. And Gurudev was so accommodating, you know, he was so accommodating, and we hear about Nityananda Prabhu and how merciful and how broadly he distributed Mahaprabhu's name and glories, you know, and Gurudev was doing that in such an accommodating way, you know, that, like all accommodating, actually. What we can't accommodate, he's accommodating. Giving without that form of rules,
conditions,
yeah, exactly. And then I see also that we have to try to practice that, because as soon as those conditions are created in certain situations, I feel that it's really blocking. You know? I'm seeing it in myself and also in other situations that it really blocks the flow of service, I guess, our service connection, and that flow of reality or something.
Can you recall, and you don't have, you can, you know, omit names if you feel more comfortable, any particular examples of, you know, how Srila Gurudev would change the atmosphere of a situation, maybe somebody's fault, or by showing his unconditional affection, caused everybody to rethink, you know, their estimation of the situation.
There was one particular devotee coming from, mainly from a different mission, you could say, but coming to our mission, coming to Gurudev, and his mood is still a little bit in the mood of another mission, kind of in a certain way that maybe that he's preaching, but very prominent and very respectable, and but also having some little funny, you can say funny, or, you know, something that sometimes people are feeling a little like, oh, he's not fully being with our mission, or just maybe in a little bit different mood, or maybe saying funny things that you think, oh, he shouldn't be saying those things. But what I'm trying to say is that he was attracted and loves Gurudev, and Gurudev was giving him so much nourishment and prestige and honor and respect, and having him come and sit with him and embracing him in every kind of way. I mean, literally embracing him, and also in every way embracing him and trying to bring him into the, you know, the family of Guru Maharaj and our line and our mission. And say yes, that he was there, but I think, you know, since Gurudev left and other things happened and other devotees were not able to be so accommodating with his special style or his maybe slightly different kind of mood or preaching style, mm-hmm. and not able to accommodate that or want to try to make some adjustment or tell him something, then his feelings were hurt. And I felt really sad of that, because I just felt like, oh, we can think so many things about this person and maybe think that they're strange or have these kind of qualities, but how much love and affection Gurudev had, then wow, you know, we have to try to be like Gurudev. Gurudev said many times, just be like me. Just try to be like me.
Really? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he would say that. And you're like, how in the world am I going to be like you, Gurudev? But, you know, and we can't try to pretend to be like Gurudev, but he's telling us how he is. He's showing us how he is. He's giving instructions of how he did and how he had to adjust himself, you know. I mean, externally, of course, he didn't, you know, but so, like, okay, you know, we have to try to see all those beautiful qualities. And anytime we're thinking, oh, well, they shouldn't be talking about this, or they shouldn't do like that, or they don't, you know, they go somewhere else, and then it just doesn't work. It's like everyone has some ego, and Gurudev also said, you know. And it's not like we want to put gasoline on someone's ego and make their ego big. We also have ego, but he was, again, accommodating. He wasn't trying to change our false ego. He wasn't trying to smash it. You can't smash anybody. He never smashed. I never saw him smash anybody. That accommodating makes us more want to try to be that way, you know. We have to be that way, I guess, also. I don't know how to be that way. Through His grace. Not in the wrong way. I mean, it's hard because sometimes you can't understand, well, what's accommodating, but then where do you draw a line too with accommodating, you know, as far as certain things you don't, with association, you know, and accepting devotees and their service mood, but then maybe they're doing something that you can't accommodate. I don't know where you find that.
Heard this before, Gurudev would say, just be like me. Can you tell me some context, like maybe on some of the occasions when you heard him say that?
I don't know the context. I don't. I remember, like, you know, I have problems with anger, and I sometimes I feel really angry or something. And I think one time maybe once or twice, I told Gurudev. When I was younger, I used to feel anger. I used to be a very angry young man. And I don't know what he said. I think it's, you know, something that little by little it went away. But, yeah, I don't know exactly in the context when he would say, just be like me. But I have heard him say that.
So you asked him once specifically how he'd like to deal with anger.
I just remember that it came up a few times, and he would just kind of reassure me, like, I mean, in a way, I guess for me, it felt like a reassurance, like, okay, it's normal or something. It wasn't like, oh, well, you shouldn't be feeling angry, so you need to do this or that. Look back now and say, okay, well, you know, he was just trying to give encouragement, but through this process, little by little, those things go away. He would, you know, also say that whatever we have, even if it's those, you know, anartas or those bad qualities, it's not that we're trying to erase those or artificially take them out, but that we're actually, we also try to use those in service, whatever our nature is, we try to use those qualities or bad qualities in the service, and then they become purified, you know. So even, he said, even if you're angry, you can use that for, and I've just read it again, too.
Yeah, it's published in one of those books. Truth.
Okay, Revealed Truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I was there for that talk, or he said it another time, but that, to me, was more practical, you know, it made more sense, like, okay, well, I have this, I don't know how to get rid of it, so it's artificial to try to think that it can just, like, disappear, you know, but to use those things in service, you know, for whatever our character is, we try to just engage those qualities, those tendencies in service, and then they become, you know, useful, and then they become purified.
You can't recall, like, any other particular things you asked him about? You were living in the ashram in San Jose for many years, right? The ladies' ashram.
Wanted me to do. Usually he would, if I would come here, then after some time, then it seemed like he wanted me to be in San Jose to do that service, and then I felt some responsibility for whatever reason, whether he was trying to give that to me or I was feeling it, that to help there, to be there, that was what was making him happy. You know, I felt that very strongly, that he wanted me there and to do that service and to, because, you know, we were collecting for the ashram, for SoCal, and we had that, we were all collectors there for a number of years, just collecting, you know, for the SoCal temple, and then when I started to try to do a little bit of some preaching activities, he was always giving me encouragement for that, and I would have different ideas, especially when I was here, I'd get all kinds of big ideas, and like, I want to do this, and I want to do that, and he would get very happy and encourage me for that, to, you know, preach at the universities or to go out and do different things. And most of the time I can say that it didn't happen in a big way that, like, I always felt I wanted it to happen, or I wanted to do things that I didn't end up doing. But he really liked a lot of those ideas that I had for preaching. Like, he really wanted preaching going on. Going to the universities, and I have some correspondence with that. Let's see, this is happening, and he would get really happy. But that reminds me also that the thing about, like, kind of caring for the devotees, like, I was looking back at some of those letters that he wrote that were correspondence, and I was amazed that he would always ask me at the end of each letter, he would always ask me, maybe, I don't know if it was because I was telling him about the different devotees and how they were doing, or not always, but he would always ask me at the end, well, how is this person doing, how's that person doing, how's this person doing? So that reminds me again, like, he would ask me about the devotees, you know, like, care, in his caring way, you know, but I think another example of just him wanting to bring my attention, you know, to trying to, you know, how are the devotees, that's all he always cared, that's all he really cared about, was how the devotees were doing, you know. Again, about that being accommodating, like, he used to, I heard him tell the story of when, I think it was Bhaktisiddhanta, you know the story, when some Westerners came, I think it was to see Bhaktisiddhanta, and they went to take bath, and they went to some kund, and they were taking bath, but they were taking bath naked, and the devotees were a little upset, you know, why are they going naked, they should tell them not to go naked, and he's like, oh, just build some wall around so they can take bath, but, like, that example, and the other example of Bhaktisiddhanta saying about the students, like, if you make some program, and you can feed them, or whatever. We also hear it with the story when Krishna goes to visit, and was it Uddhava's wife that gives him
Vidura?
Vidura's,
yeah.
And she's offering, and she's so, like, happy that Krishna's there, and she's so just overwhelmed, and she's offering him the banana peel and throwing the banana, and Krishna's happily eating the banana peel. So, like, also in that story we're seeing, it's the, you know, he's saying, I'm accepting that love and affection, that enthusiasm, And that's like what Gurudev was trying to feed in us, you know, was trying to build in us that fire of enthusiasm, that fire of love and joy and affection, you know, that only really gets fed through in a different way. Not to follow the rules and regulations, but that inner feeling, that inner mood was always primary.
Can you say something about Srila Gurudev's sense of humor? Can you give any particular example that in particular comes to mind?
Well, he used to make us laugh so much. He would have funny, and sometimes it would be, maybe a devotee would be talking, maybe a devotee would be, well, Purnananda, did you ever meet Purnananda?
Mm-hmm.
And Purnananda stuttered. Gurudev would imitate him stuttering sometimes. he would be, like if he wasn't there and he would talk about him or something, starts stuttering like Purnananda. Another time, Aranya Maharaj came up, and I could see they had some funny kind of relationship. Gurudev would kind of like tease him a little bit, but one time Aranya Maharaj came up and he had false teeth, and Gurudev was kind of teasing him a little bit. I mean, he couldn't understand because he was speaking in Bengali, but it was really funny. I remember something funny that happened one time when we were staying in Calcutta, and I would at that time, Lalita was already in Saffron, and I was staying with them and with her and with Gurudev, and Bhakti Lalita and myself were going out. That was when she was collecting every day, doing book distribution and collection. So I was going out, I think maybe 2 or 3 months I was there with her doing that every day, like, and this one particular, and also that was before cell phones, so there was just like the one phone line, and Gurudev would always answer the phone, so, and my mother would sometimes call to check on me to see how, and he would always answer the phone, you know, so anyway, this particular day, I'd gone out with Lalita, and something had happened on the metro, and so there was like no metro, no trains coming, and we had to wait for a really long time, and so we got back really late. It was like after 9:30, we came in, and I think Gurudev was still up. Maybe he was waiting for us to come back or something. And he's like, you know, of course I can't recount it exactly correctly because I can't remember very well. But he's like, yes, no, and you, your mother, she, oh, he said, oh, your mother called. I'm like, oh, really? Okay, you know. He's like, yes. Told her, you know, she asked where you were. I told her you went out and you were gone all day, and it was after 9 o'clock, and you still weren't back. And I'm very, very worried. But I'm so worried. It's almost 9:30, and they're still not back.
Oh my gosh.
And he was like saying it and chuckling and doing this, you know. And I'm very worried about her, you know. I was laughing, and then that was sort of everything. It's like, yes, you know, and they said something about the mother and how, you know, it's her nature to worry and something along those lines, you know. But it was just really funny. I could just picture my mom on the phone and Gurudev telling me, yes, I'm very worried about her. She's been gone all day and she's still not back. It's after 9 o'clock. Seemed like he didn't want us to take ourselves too seriously, you know. It's like, how serious can we take ourselves, you know? It's like, who are we to take ourselves very seriously, like we are somebody or something, you know. I mean I don't know, he was just that way, but humor is letting people relax a little bit, you know. I mean, of course we have to take Guru Maharaj's teachings and Gurudev's teachings seriously, but seriously in a different way than what we're thinking what serious means, you know, like with sincerely rather than seriously, you know. So we're thinking serious means, you know, we have to be like this. I mean, I'm thinking, I don't say we, but, you know, this and this, and we can't do this and we can't do that, and you know, we have to be like this. And I mean, I had many conceptions of my own, like what is spiritual life, and what is doing right, and what is doing wrong, and what is up, and what is down, you know, when he's breaking that, you know, and humor is breaking that, you know, it's appealing to a different part of our nature, you know, and I think it seems, we know that everything here is a reflection in the spiritual world, and we're hearing so many pastimes of Krishna playfully doing funny things, and I'm not trying to say we're like that, but you know, that humor was bringing a sweetness to all of us, you know, a playfulness, you know, that spiritual place, and Krishna is the sweet, playful absolute, you know. Playful means funny, you know, means happy, means, and so we're seeing when the devotees get together, you know, that that's playful and happy, maybe not always, but we're seeing the laughter is a symptom of happiness, you know, isn't it? And so joking also is like that, you know. Gurudev was truly happy in his loving care, under the loving care of Gurudev, of his Guru Maharaj, you know, he was completely given all himself to him, and that happiness was coming out, and you know, it helped us also in to relax and to feel that informality again, you know, that informality, that connection in a more familiar way. I mean, not to say that we want to be familiar, but less formal way.
Yes, more a natural way. Well, that brings me to my next question, which is, I know you've kind of covered it already, but if you can think of anything else, is how Gurudev may have broken any particular stereotypes you had about Krishna consciousness or spiritual life in general. Any idea? I mean, what you said just now was very, very nice, and also echoes some other comments I got. Idea of showing yourself in a very strict, formal way, but that it should be natural from the heart.
Yeah, I mean, I think that stereotype in itself, the picture of a guru, you know, sitting on a Vyasasani, we go, you know, in India, anywhere you go, you see a picture of someone, you know, that looks real formal and offering incense and worship, you know, and that's, we do that, that's the worship and the ideal, that's our guru, you know, but the fact that he came on such a personal way, you know, going with us to the zoo, or taking us here, or doing with us, or sitting with us and taking prasadam, or, you know, riding on the train with us, you know, or sitting and talking in this room with us, you know, wherever it was. I mean, that all was breaking any kind of conception, because you're thinking, you know, how can I possibly have this kind of connection in this kind of way? I think that was the main thing, just how accessible and how kind, the kindness. I mean, maybe there's the stereotype of thinking that about giving instruction and giving order and giving, you know, well, you do this and you do that. I think in the West, like a lot of times, maybe that's sort of primary. It's like, why would you have a guru? You know, why do you have to listen to someone? Or why do you, you know, want to have someone tell you what to do? You know, when you think, well, you know, Gurudev never told me what to do. You know, it's like it's a whole different, that stereotype itself. You know, it's like, it's not that. You know, it's something something else. It's an affection and guidance, you know, something different than what we're used to in the West. Thinking, I think, is just how could someone be caring for us just because that's their, that's when they're loving or affectionate way.
Gurudev was a rule breaker, you know, trying to bring us to something more natural.
Can you say something more about that?
Well, I was just thinking when I thought about that, I was thinking about destruction. Thinking maybe he's just trying to bring us to something more natural from the heart, you know? Because he was a rule breaker. He did things that we were like, wow, out of love, out of affection.
That was Brajamohini Didi with some input from Dibya Shakti Didi at the end, remembering Srila Gurudev.